We're very pleased to be here this morning, dear brethren. And of course, you know, we have in our hearts always a little spot here, especially for our dear beloved brethren in Waterbury. Last week, Brother Tony served the brethren in Agawam, and this week we're here, so we're reciprocating. And we miss the rich blessing, Brother Tony. And the brethren certainly enjoyed your service. And they asked me to bring their Christian love and greetings to you and to the brethren here. And last week, we were in Groton. And the joy from the brethren in Groton, they knew we were going to be here today so they could bring our Christian greetings and our love to all the brethren in Waterbury. So that's what we're doing. We're dispensing with that chore of love. This morning, dear brethren, we've decided to speak on something that's close and dear to our heart. And of course, the perilous times in which we live has indicated to us that we are about to take an inventory of ourselves as our daily obligations and our daily responsibilities, and of course, dear brother, our priorities. Where are our priorities? Where are we going to place these priorities of ours in this life? And today is the talk of, we're going to share many thoughts, dear brother. And if you have any questions, we'd be delighted to discuss them with you. And our thoughts this morning are going to be on consecration. It's taken mostly, you know, from Romans 12:1. I beseech you, dear brethren, by the mercy of God, to present yourself, your body, as a sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. That's the basic ingredient of our thought. There's many ramifications to this. And we're only going to touch on one part of it. We're going to dwell on one part of consecration, dear brethren. And this part is going to be the sacrificing of the will of the individual. What is consecration? And what is it meant to us as new creatures, and what do we understand it to be? Especially to those, dear brethren, that are consecrated, and those that aren't. We hope, dear brethren, that those that aren't will not feel offended in any way, not feel offended, that and not welcomed into these thoughts, because we encompass them all, and we encourage, dear brethren, that those that are not consecrated to think on these things, and that and along the line it will help you to understand why consecration is such a high priority in the minds and the hearts of the brethren that are consecrated, and why they act the way they do, and why they hold it above all. And those that are, dear brethren, we expect to take an inventory of ourselves as new creatures that are consecrated and to find why we're obligated to this new way of life after we have made a decision to relinquish our will to do the will of our Lord. The scriptures are going to emphatically teach us why and how consecration is a high priority in an individual's life. First, we shall see what consecration is meant by the scriptures. It is the surrendering, the forfeiting of the will to do the will of our Lord. Dear brethren, as you understand what a free will is, and that is the only possession that God has given us in creating an individual, a free will. Once the Lord has given you this free will, the Lord cannot take it back. It is a possession that he has given it to us unequivocally. Imagine that. God has given us a free will. And this consists of two things. That the individual can use this free will as he sees fit to make a decision, to make it function, to his advantage and to his disadvantage. God cannot take this will away from us that he has given us. That is a possession that we have and that God has given us. Can you imagine that? The Creator has given you something that he can't take back, that he will not take back. First, God gave us a free will, and to every one of us that he has created, to do as he wishes and as he sees fit. It belongs to us, period. Now, how can we choose to give this will up and to do what? The Lord is seeking, as a consecrated individual, from you and I, if you are willing to forfeit, if you are willing to give up this will that you have, this prized possession, for something else. We know that this God of ours is not an underpayer of wages. He's not an individual that will give us things that are below what we have. On this one hand, the Lord has given us the free will. It's a highly sought after possession that we have. And then on the other hand, he's asking if you are willing to sacrifice this will, forfeit it. And the question arises, why? And what are the consequences when you forfeit this free will? And for what reason? As a consecrated individual, this will must be forfeited. For what reason? To do the will of God, the will of Christ. Jesus in Matthew had he functioned properly? We'll take a few minutes to have her adjust the okay? This falls in, dear brother, as we know, is a lifetime of self-denial. That's how I like to look at it. A lifetime of self-denial. Now, of course, the scriptures emphatically have to substantiate the thought and the statement and the decision. Otherwise, dear brother, we are just speaking words. Jesus in Matthew 16:24 has given us an insight in this surrendering of our will. And you know, he speaks to the disciples in this manner. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The latter part of that, we'll go into it a little later about taking up the cross. But you see, dear brethren, where we have a lifetime of self-denial, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Here we have the instructions from the Lord in the first phase of this self-denial. Let us go in more detail on this. Let us look in Luke 14:26. And the scripture reads this manner. If any man come to me, hates not his father, his mother, his wife, and his children, and brothers, and sisters, and not his own life, also he cannot be my disciple. Dear brethren, if we look at this word for word, it is a hard thing. Now, does the Lord expect us to be irresponsible to our responsibility to his wife that he has taken? And you know what Proverbs, 18:23, if I'm not mistaken, it says, let us look at that before we verbatim in here, dear brother. Oh, yes, it's 18:22. You know, for whoso findeth a wife, and findeth a good thing, and attaineth favor in the Lord. So we, dear brethren, we cannot disregard our responsibility for our natural life, our wife, our brothers, our sisters, our mothers, and so forth. These responsibilities and obligations that we have assumed, we must keep. But the Lord here is trying to tell us to where to put our priorities. Our priorities are first with us, to serve the Lord, to serve him firstly, and his ways and his means. We have seen here, brethren, that in our life, and as we read the many scriptures, and also as we read the news account and our daily contact, that people's priorities differ. And as they differ, their interests differ. And as their interests differ, their life differs. And they go in the direction in which they put their priorities. Dear brother, as you understand and as you know, the consecrated individual has put their priorities to serve the Lord first, so their hearts are where the Lord's words are and the Lord's people, and they serve the Lord in that manner. So consequently, the brethren that are always associated with one another, their interests and high priorities is in that area. And their life is in that area. And they become, and as we understand, they're living a consecrated life. It is simple as that. And as we grow older, as we accumulate these things, our responsibilities become greater. So we see that in consecration, we have a lifetime contract with the Lord to do the Lord's will. That is our obligation and our part of it. And of course, dear brethren, we fall short. And we can see where throughout our life there is many, many times where we must have to go to the storehouse to draw out new material to build up, ratify the old. This is what the Lord expects. This is what the Lord would like to see is from an individual that has forfeited and has surrendered his free will to do the will of the Lord. Once we agree, and of course they have agreed, the consecrated, to do this, it consists of certain things. And the Lord in Mark 10:22 is speaking to Peter. And of course, Peter has a different type of a character from all the other disciples. And
Peter's always inquisitive, and he says, "Then Peter began to say unto him, Lord, we have left everything. We have left all and have followed thee." Just like that. And that is what the Lord expects from the individual that is consecrated in this manner. The Levites, in Luke 5, 27 and 28, he was a custom collector. And Jesus spoke to him, it said, in the 28th verse. And you know what happened? And he left all, rose up, and followed him. Who do we understand this individual to be? This was an invitation that the Lord extended to this customs collector, a collector of taxes. And this individual accepted this invitation, left what he had. It was a position, dear brethren, of collecting taxes was pretty good in those days. Which it is. This individual dropped it at the invitation of our Lord and followed him. This is what we like to begin to understand, dear friend, is to be called of God. To be drawn of God. To be drawn in God's service. To be drawn in to know his word, his ways, his methods, his objectives, and his ultimate end in relation to the individual that he's dealing with. Each individual the Lord deals with is a separate identity that he consists of and he owns. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus talked about the cost of this. It isn't an easy thing to give up your will. And we brought that out in that latter, in the other verse there in the first part, about the ratification of the cross. What is this cross? It doesn't come lightly, dear brethren. It's part of what it's going to cost the individual, what the responsibility is going to entail to the individual when he's consecrated. Consecration, dear brethren, is just not simply in words only, but there is a deep amount of work involved. And of course, the individual is going to have to bear the cross that's involved in being consecrated. You know, the funny part about this, dear brother, and the serious note of it, is no one else can bear my cross. I can't bear your cross to make your calling election sure. And I can't bear your cross, you can't bear my cross to make me a more acceptable, consecrated individual or a new creature. We can have sympathy for one another. We can have concern for one another. And we can build each other up in this most holy faith. But, dear brethren, we cannot bear each other's cross. We must bear our own cross. Just like our Lord bared the cross. He bared his own cross. Could we have taken his place in his life? Impossible. It's an impossibility, and consequently it is the same with us. Who, may we ask, bared his cross to the very end and received the crown from the world? The Apostle Paul said this of himself. You know, he was concerned about bearing his own cross and the way he carried out his obligations to the best of his ability, and how he assumed his consecrated vows. And by doing this, and by him doing it, by the Apostle Paul living a greater and closer consecrated life, she became closer and closer and more acceptable to the Lord. And he was very conscious of this fact too, dear brethren. He was so concerned about this, you know, in Romans 8:13, he made the statement, "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die." It's as simple as that. Now, we're not going to go. We do understand, dear brethren, that it is a mental death if we follow in that area. And the thought also, dear brethren, that the Apostle Paul brings out, and it's starting to intermingle with this new way, is that we have to have something to help us. You know? There's got to be an influence somewhere for a consecrated individual to have the stamina, have the strength, have the initiative to continue day in and day out after he gets knocked down once and twice and has trials and tribulations daily. And then the rest of the verse says that it's through the Spirit. Now, if you interject in the Spirit will help. We do mortify the deeds of the body, and if we do that, the verse finishes, he shall live. This is not the end, dear brothers. Looking after our own self-denial and cross-bearing, but do you know that we must look to help those that are strong. We must look to help our brethren. In Romans 15, 1, we then that are strong have to bear the infirmities of those that are strong. No, those that are weak, and not to please ourselves. Sometimes, dear brethren, when we think of these things, let's bear the thought of, have we helped our elderly brethren lately? That's part of the responsibility as a consecrated individual. Have we neglected? Have we forgotten the old pillars of the truth? The Apostle Paul was very concerned about this in his actions and his preachings to the Lord's people. In 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, 24th verse, let us read this together. Take a few seconds to find it, because it's so important. And this is what he says concerning himself. "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means that when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." See how he calls attention to these obligations of an individual, regardless of the status of the consecrated individual, regardless of the age, regardless of the length of time that he has been a consecrated individual, the obligations and the concerns are still there. Consecration goes more deeper than even this. He must also walk in that Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit. For the total amount that we possess, using all our faculties to the best of our abilities to produce a consecrated new creature that will finally be acceptable unto God. And we can hear that final word, "Well done, this faithful servant." As we grow more and more as new consecrated creatures, the Holy Spirit will direct us in doing the Lord's will. You can read this in Galatians 5:16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Also, let us read in that Galatians 5:24, 25, and 26. These, dear brethren, are the part of the consecrated who has the will of the Lord in his heart and mind. The Apostle Paul knew this, and in Romans 6:5, he tells of the death of the will of ours. He compares the death of our will as the same as the death of the will of our Lord. Just like Jesus gave his will to do God's will, so we give our will to God. Paul likened it unto death and to the resurrection. As an individual gives up his will, the will that is comes up as a resurrected new will, as a consecrated will. A true consecrated new creature will enjoy this tremendously. And it is a transformation, actually, from the worldly will to the spiritual will. It's a very light thing in the mind if the decision is made, but it's a very complex thing to a mind that can't understand this. Things of being able to forfeit the will that we have given to do the will of the Lord. In Romans, the 6th verse says that this part of being dead and free from sin and so forth is just part of our consecration vow and leads us into a new life. It's a life that we understand to be with Christ. These things, dear brethren, are all facets of life and life bearing to a consecrated individual. This new way of life with our will given up to do the will is very simply expressed in Romans 15:1-2. You know, we read that in the very beginning. It's a reasonable. Now, my knowledge and education can't comprehend what is my reasonable service. I can't put a limitation on my service. But I certainly can put my priorities in order, just like you can. And the Lord expects us to do these things. As the Apostle Paul has shown us, the very basic reason of consecration and how the individual enjoys this new way of life is a complete expression on the part of the person doing the Lord's will at all times and in all things to the best of his or her ability. This is a very simple difference, being consecrated or not being consecrated. The only difference is in the mind. The mind of these new creatures is entirely different than the mind of those that are not. Being consecrated, we can enjoy the beautiful promises that God has in store for us. And our priorities are there, and our importance on these are different than other people. Do we evaluate them and calculate them to be the same? No. They're completely different. And that's why, dear brethren, sometimes the people cannot understand us, not even members of our families. And sometimes that even the brethren ourselves can understand it. Because the different brethren put their different importance and priorities in different places, and we should be sympathetic with those brethren of ours. Being then consecrated, we can enjoy all the beautiful promises that God has and will give us and will fulfill. The time comes, dear brother, where we always look forward to to substantiate these things that we read in the Old and the New Testament by actual experiences with some of the prophets, men of God, and people that God dealt with in the Old Testament. If we can understand all the prophecies in Daniel, all the way to Revelation, to all the pouring out of the vials and the intricate working there, if we can understand all of these things and have a wonderful knowledge of it, right? And we're not able to share it with our brethren, or as a consecrated individual, to put it in actual working form, what good is it? If I can understand all of the prophecies, I don't share them with you individually, what good is it to me? Don't forget, the Lord knows all this. We're not, we haven't discovered or teaching him or shown him something different. The Lord has all of it. But we are the ones. To see the deeper meaning in carrying out your consecration vows, whatever you share, the Lord already knows. We carry out these consecration vows. Romans 15:1. We then serve our brethren with all our ability with the Spirit. We don't dampen this Spirit. This is carried in more detail in Romans 6:19-20. We are now servants of righteousness and fellow servants to our brethren. And a servant is an individual that is always able, willing, and ready to serve. Not to be served, but to serve. We know the consecrated life of our Lord Jesus and the Apostle Paul. Now let us look at some of the others. You know, real actual stories that we can relate to. We'll go to the Old Testament. Those that choose this new life will please God and be rewarded as fearful. We like the character of Caleb is especially at this time, dear brethren. The time came to cross the Jordan River and enter into the Promised Land. You know what happened? Caleb was anxious to go across the Jordan into the Promised Land and to explore and to investigate and to see if the promises of God were going to be fulfilled. This was Caleb. This is Caleb's character. It's like a new teacher and a consecrated individual, always anxious to carry out his obligation. Now we have another group of people, another tribe, and there was the tribe of Reuben. Now the Reubenites, they liked to stay on the other side of the Jordan where they were, where the land was nice and flat, the grass was green, the cattle had a place to graze, and you know what? There was no enemies there. They knew what was all around them. They had peace and tranquility. They had it made, as we understand. And they were very lackadaisy about their obligation to cross the Jordan to the Promised Land. They were hesitant in making this decision. And this upset Moses to a great degree. And Moses said, "What do you want? To sit here while the others do the fighting?" The Lord was so upset with this. And the scriptures teach us that nobody in that tribe over the age of 21 was able or permitted to go to the Promised Land. He was upset over it. Just the younger one. In fact, let us read this account. It's in Numbers 32. Number 32, 4 to 13. Yes. Even the country which the Lord spoke before the congregation is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Therefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for possession, and bring us not over to Jordan. These are the Reubenites. They were happy when the condition in which they were in. And Moses said unto the children of Gad, and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And therefore discourage the hearts of the children of Israel from going over unto the land which the Lord hath given them. Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh to see the land. For when they went up unto the valley of Eshcol, and saw the land, they discouraged the hearts of the children of Israel, and they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled at the same time, and he swears, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 21 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb, the son of Jephthah, and so forth. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and all the generations have done evil in the sight of the Lord was so consumed. So, dear brethren, you see that the point that we'd like to bring at this time, these brethren were hesitant into doing the obligations of the Lord. Their obligations. They were commissioned to do certain things. And they were hesitant, they murmured, and they were reluctant. So consequently, the Lord dealt with them severely. They forfeited the promises that were given to them for a simple hesitation. Except Caleb. It's the same thing with us. If we hesitate to be consecrated new individuals in Christ, we lose the many blessings. The inside in depth of the blessings. We cannot be just sympathetic consecrated individual at all times. There's another example also in the story here in the Old Testament of the whole life of an individual, of a certain king, when the time came to make these decisions. And the importance of the decision and all the things that hinged upon a decision. So we can see in the let us turn to 2 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. We'd like to read that. 2 Chronicles, I'm sorry. 2 Chronicles, the 15th chapter. 2 Chronicles, the 15th chapter. Now, here is the story of a king, one of the kings that became due to the line of command. He became king of Israel. And as you understand, at that time, the kings had quite amount of authority. And, of course, they could exercise this authority. And when they exercised this authority, everybody was affected by this decision. So let us read this. Now, this account here of this king of God. Now listen to the very ratifications of the decision, and this is the physical part of the life of an individual that decides to do certain things. And the Spirit of God came upon Sarah, the son of Odin, and he went out to meet Asad, and said unto him, hear me, Asad, and Judah, and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, for a long season, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, without the law. And when they in their trouble did come unto the Lord, God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in these times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexation were upon all the inhabitants of the country. And nation was destroyed by nation, city by city. God did vex them with all adversities. Be strong, therefore, that not your hands be weak, nor your work shall be rewarded. For your work shall be rewarded. So when Asad heard these words and the prophecies of Obed, the prophet, he took courage and put away the and that an immovable idol out of the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord, and there was the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all the Judeans and the Benjamins and strangers with them, and out of Ephraim, Messiah and Simeon. So they fell to him out of Israel in abundance, and they saw that the Lord his God was with them. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of the reign of God. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoils which they have brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And this, dear brother, listen. And they entered into the covenant to seek the Lord. See, through all these problems and through all these experiences, they entered into a covenant to seek the God and their Father. And all their hearts were with all their souls, each and every individual. And whosoever would not seek the Lord of Israel to be cast to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And this is the command from the king. And they swear unto God with a loud voice and said, shouting with triumphant and cordial. And Judea rejoiced at the oath that they had sworn with their hearts, and sworn and sought him after their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them this all about. In other words, the enemies of the surrounding countries to conquer us. The thought we would like to bring out is this. As long as God, the king, was without the true God, and he hesitated to serve him and make the act and send out the proclamation to the people that they should serve God, they wandered and they squandered amongst everything. And they weren't blessed. They didn't enjoy the blessings, they didn't enjoy the promises that God gave them. But as the time went on, and the prophet spoke to them, and the king made the proclamation, and the inhabitants of Israel returned to the true God and worshiped the true God, they become blessed and they would have peace in their minds. And it's the same thing as a needy teacher, and especially the consecrated individual. As he is in the land, and we are in the world, he can't be separated. But we can serve the true God. And if we do serve the true God as a consecrated individual, like people being men of God, we are blessed accordingly. And not only are we blessed, we are immune from our enemies that are all around us. You see how the Lord has protected us? Just like the Lord protected the Israelites during this time from the enemies of the land, so too the Lord will protect the consecrated individuals in the land in which they live. So do not dishearten your brethren as being new creatures to be consecrated, especially consecrated individuals to serve God. That this here immunization that the God has given us is emphatically one of the greatest things that we can possess. These thoughts, dear brother, I thought was a heartening to us as an individual that we should continue this good fight that we have. As we enjoy this peace of mind, as in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, in the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly, and may God keep you whole in spirit and soul and body, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved brethren, those that are consecrated, think more and more how our consecrated vows should be carried out and to please God. And those that are not, we pray that they will think more and more to be more sympathetic to those and compatible. And may the many blessings that God has in store for us be taken advantage of. We surely give all and encourage all to evaluate their consecration obligations at this time. As we said previously, this is an expression on the part of an individual to give up his will to do the will of the Lord. As consecrated true preachers, we can see the many ramifications involved in all these things. Well, dear brother, let us think more on these things as the time becomes shorter and shorter, and as it becomes more and more. We'd like to leave the thoughts in Galatians 2:20 and 2 Corinthians 4:11. Read them at your leisure, and then the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Jerry, for bringing again to our minds the responsibilities and joys that we are privileged to have as consecrated brethren following the footsteps of our Lord. Indeed, we do realize that the joys far outweigh the responsibilities, and that's not even thinking of the reward that the Lord has also promised that the if we make our calling and election sure. So as Brother Jerry brought the love of the friends from Agawam, will someone make a motion that we send our love back to us? All those in favor? Okay. Does anyone, Jerry, do you have a hymn for closing? Does anyone have a hymn for closing this portion, and then we'll have our testimony meeting. Thank you.